me lots of dignities. Kara'im or Karima means the dignitary side of you. You have given me justice. You have given me kindness. You have given me generosity. You have given me mercy. And Imam says, if you want to take any of these things from me, mm-hmm. I request you that the first of them to be my life. Means that I don't like to live, but not to be just. I don't like to live without mercy. I don't like to live as a mean person.
Yes.
So you see, this man, the definition that he has from human being. So as they say, I am top the bill.
Yes.
So this person who is at that top mountain of humanity, so nothing can make him disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can hurt him when he finds himself beyond the what do you call it?
The realm of this materialistic world. That's right.
Yeah, the realm of this materialistic world. So he is beyond this, you know,
do's and don'ts of today's world. That's right. Okay.
So this such a person. So he has a tranquility.
Somebody can claim that was Ali, who was, for example, among the best worshippers of Allah.
No, it's not only Amir al-Mu'minin. We have people even, we had the true students of Amir al-Mu'minin at our time. We had,
so how to reach such a personality?
I said pondering, thinking.
Okay.
Thinking, you know, thinking about yourself. If we have seen people, I have seen people that even if they are not scholars.
Yes.
Even they are not scholars, but they have some level of that concept.
Mm-hmm.
Even we have the hadiths that Imam Alayhi Wasallam said that you cannot be like us. So we cannot ascend to the level that Imam Ali ascended.
Yes.
But we can achieve some part of it, some share of it, some portion of it. And they said, even we have hadiths that there are ranks for people.
Yes.
Quran says, "Hum darajatun indallah."
Yes.
People, they themselves are degrees. So, yeah, that is the top, but you can get as much as closer to him, then you have the highest. So the point is that we have to create Jannah here in our life.
That's right.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Sheikh, but unfortunately, when the people, especially among the believing communities, as the Muslims, sometimes the Shia communities, when they reach a problem, rather than thinking or self-pondering or something like that, they get used to repeating some religious formulas or zikrs or supplications or reciting this ayah or that ayah or spending money on this or that to solve the problem and to find ease of mind and relief of heart. First of all, is this at all right to do so before self-pondering and self-thinking you get to such formulas to be repeated or not? And if yes, what to repeat, what not to repeat, or what to say, what not to say?
Of course, that is important. We have lots of hadiths in our hadithi books advising us to have a specific recitations, zikr and azkar in such hardships. And we have different zikrs to call Allah by different names of Allah in different sort of hardships.
Okay.
So that is another point. We don't want to, but they want to reach to the essence of the dhikr. You know, the problem is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith, when he is describing a believer to Amir al-Mu'mineen, one of the qualities of a believer, according to the Prophet, is that al-Mu'minu juhariyu zikr. He says that there is essence for the dhikr of a believer. So this dhikr is not just some voice to being uttered in the mouth. There is an essence. If there is an essence, then there is a fragrance for that dhikr. Then you recite the zikr, the fragrance is in your mouth, mm-hmm. and you have to smell it.
Yes.
If you use the perfume, because there is the essence, you smell the perfume.
Yes.
So that zikr, when you use it, it should have the impact on your body and on
yes.
your soul.
Yes.
So I'm talking about that side of man that gives essence to the zikr.
Mm-hmm.
And that essence is the understanding of man and what man is. You know, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha, the hadith is there. You know, the famous khutbah of Hammam.
Yes.
When he's explaining muttaqin, then he says that one of the qualities of mu'min is da'imun nashat.
Mm-hmm.
Mu'min, a true believer, is in a permanent happiness,
mm-hmm.
is in rapture.
Yes.
So, you know, you cannot say that this is water, but it doesn't wet.
Mm-hmm.
If it is water, then it is wet.
Yes.
It is 2 + 2 = 4. No doubt about it. If you are a mu'min, if we are a true mu'min, then we should have happiness. This is the quality.
Yes.
I mean, this is the criterion that you can test yourself whether you are a Muslim, true mu'min or not. So even if we want to see every individual about
yes.
ourselves, if we want to see whether we are mu'min or not, look at the amount of happiness we have in our life.
But by happiness here, we do not mean to be happy by any means.
I'm not talking about pleasures.
Okay.
I'm not talking about pleasures.
Yeah.
I'm talking about happiness. Happiness is different
right.
from pleasures.
You mean you are talking
You might be happy in the heart of
the bodies. Isn't it?
Yeah.
You're talking about
I'm
right.
talking about being happy in the heart of the, you know, like Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he's being thrown into fire, he's happy.
That's right.
So the happiness and the relief of soul and the happiness of heart, that is the quality. The fact, the Quran says, "La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun."
Mm-hmm.
There is no fear, there is no sorrow. They are in permanent rapture. They are
yes.
in permanent happiness. And Mulana says, "Raqsi chunin miyana ye meydana
marzus."
So I like to dance like such a Sufi that he's free from any pain and hardship of the life. And this cannot be achieved without that background. So I mean, the true iman, so if a person performs salat and
yes.
at the same time they are using some, you know, medicine to get relief of mind, then we have to doubt what kind of salat is this.
Uh-huh.
We don't want to say that we do that. Nauzubillah, we don't claim that we are in such a state, but I'm
yes.
talking about the creed.
Yes.
This is the creed. This is a text.
Okay.
This is how our religion is. So
how not to get that relief and peace of mind through your salat?
So
in fact, what happens that you cannot reach
yeah.
relief through your salat?
So we see
right.
that, for example, in a hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam talks about what are the conditions for the salat to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that we have some fiqhi aspects of salat that if you perform salat that way, then salat is sahih, means that you don't need to repeat it.
Yes.
But beyond and beside that, there is another qualities for salat to be accepted by Allah. To be accepted, what does it mean? You know, this is something that usually we just take it easy. We think that we understand, but we don't understand.
Yes.
What does it mean that salat is accepted?
Mm-hmm.
What is salat? Aqim as-salata li-dhikri. Salat is what? Is the remembrance of Allah. So
right.
if my remembrance of Allah is accepted, it means that Allah will remember me. Fazkuruni
azkurkum.
You remember me, I remember you.
Okay.
So if you remember me, then I will remember you.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens? Allah bidhikrillah. Ayatullah Jawadi Amwali has a very beautiful statement here. He says, Allah bidhikrillah is izafa bil fa'il, not bil maf'ul. So it doesn't mean that if you remember Allah, you will be in peace. If Allah remembers you, you will be in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we remember Allah, but we are not in peace.
Mm-hmm.
We say, astaghfirullah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, but no happiness is there. What? Because Allah should remember you.
Mm-hmm.
How Allah remembers you? When Allah accepts your salat.
Yes.
So the conditions for the salat to be accepted is different from the conditions for salat to be sahih.
Mm-hmm.
So here you see that in the concept, in the qualities for salat to be sahih, there is no difference between my salat and the salat of Imam.
Yes.
Both of us, when we perform wuzu and perform salat, salat is sahih, means that
okay.
we don't need to repeat it.
Yes.
But when it comes to acceptance by Allah, then you see the difference. There
That's
are poles
right.
apart between the salat that the Prophet performs, the salat that we perform. And to the level that it is accepted and Allah is happy with that, then Allah will respond to that.
That's right.
And that response of Allah coming is something that Quran calls it salat. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Salat of Allah is the light that comes to the heart.
Okay.
And
so the light, when the light comes, is
in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah says, "Huwa alladhi yusalli alaykum wa malaikatuhu." Allah and His angels, they send salawat to you.
Yes.
لِيُخْرِجَكُم مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. They take you out of darkness into light. When you are in the light, you are happy. In the darkness, you are not happy.
Yes.
So the salat of Allah, that is the result of the remembrance of Allah, will come to you when you remember Allah. And here at the end, if I want to say one general rule which is related this point, concept of salawat and the light of Allah here, the Prophet taught us a general rule.
Yes.
And he said, Sallallahu ala al-Bakina ala al-Husayn. Allah, be ever that Allah sent salawat to those who cry for Hussein.
Shed tears for Imam al-Hussein. That's right.
Sallallahu ala al-Bakina ala al-Hussein. And those who have such relation with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, they have felt this, that after that crying and, as you said,
shedding tears for Imam al-Hussein, that's right.
You have tasted. We ordinary people, we might not have that level to have such a strong relation with Allah, the feeling that Imam Ali alayhi salam had to say that I have not worshipped the God that I have not seen. So we have to start the journey, of course. We can achieve it. But something simple, that something is tangible for us. Allah has given some taste and flavor of that love of Him to Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So when we love Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam because we love them for the sake of Allah, then it gives us ordinary people a chance of experiencing such taste, such rapture, such pleasure. And those who go, especially on the visits like Arba'een and Ziyarah of Abdullah, they have felt some type of that, you know, peace and tranquility which is there.
That's right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Agha Mohammadi. Really fruitful discussion. I really enjoyed talking to you about this topic according to Islamic beliefs. It was very kind of you. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. The another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pourreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
In response to the call of the Free Palestine Movement, massive crowds gathered in the Yarmouk refugee camp near Damascus to show their confidence in the strength and determination of the resistance in Gaza, confirming that the Al-Aqsa Flood operation is a fateful battle that ignited hope in their hearts, as it brings them closer to the defeat of the Israeli occupation and their return to their homeland.
We are here to support people in the Gaza Strip and voice our unconditional support to the resistance groups. After nearly 3 months of fighting, it's clear that the Zionist regime is facing defeat. The Al-Aqsa Flood operation revealed that Israel's collapse is imminent.
The Israeli occupation politically has nothing now, military has nothing now, security has nothing, economy has nothing, and we also tell the world that October 7th is the gate for the liberation of the whole Palestine, from the river to the sea.
Participants confirmed that the excess of resistance embraces the Palestinian struggle and supports all resistance factions, including the Al-Qassam Brigades and Al-Quds Brigades. They expressed their anger at the Israeli atrocities against the people of Gaza, emphasizing their adherence to the right of return and liberating Al-Quds.
Syrians and Palestinians have shown their absolute faith in the victory of the Resistance Front and Al-Aqsa Front operation, not only as a path to liberate the occupied lands, but also as inspiration for the generations to come. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Thousands took to the streets of Austria's capital Vienna to express solidarity with Gaza on Saturday. These demonstrations were special in the sense that they were the first street protests after a court ruling removing some restrictions on acts of solidarity with Palestine. Since October 7, police and government have been imposing strict sanctions on protests and even banned expressions of solidarity with Gaza entirely. Following a demonstration on November 5 in the city of Salzburg, charges were filed against participants who held signs showing Palestine in its pre-1947 borders. Police argued the banner constitutes a criminal offense due to incitement to hatred for denying the Israeli regime's right to exist. The tide has now turned. The court dropped the charges a few days ago, arguing they violated freedom of expression. It ruled that it is lawful to carry signs showing maps of Palestine at demonstrations. The ruling comes only days after similar verdicts in Germany, where courts in Cologne and Munster ruled that the slogans "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free," "Child murderer Israel," and "Stop the genocide in Gaza" can be freely expressed in the country. German police have previously used these slogans to prohibit protests for Gaza, creating worries that the free speech is under threat.
I'm here because I feel a duty to stand against the destruction of life, the environment, and dignity, because this destruction is being done in my name. And instead of making me safer, it's making it more dangerous for me to live in the diaspora.
While their governments stand staunchly on the side of the Zionist regime of Israel, thousands of people in Austria and Germany keep marching for Palestine. Experts say these demonstrations have placed some real pressure on European governments, pushing them to distance themselves from Israeli atrocities.
The court rulings are a welcome boost for the Palestine solidarity movement in Europe, where concerns are growing over a breakdown on Palestine supporters. Following recent court decisions, it is believed the coming year will see more and more demonstrations for Gaza. Dieter Reinisch, Vienna.
Iraq is marking the fourth anniversary of the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. During an event attended by high-ranking Iraqi and Iranian officials, the two commanders were prized as a role model for all generations.
Today we stand alongside our Iranian brothers to remember our leaders General Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, whose memories are engraved in our minds. And although they are gone physically, their thoughts are still with us.
Former Iraqi Prime Minister Nour al-Maliki admired the two leaders and their role in the fight against terrorism in the region. The chief of Iraq Popular Mobilization Units, Faleh al-Fayyad, also addressed the ceremony. He said the role of General Qasem Soleimani and his companion was essential in standing against Daesh. Several Iraqi lawmakers were also present at the event. They said the two commanders' determination to fight against terrorists irritated their backers.
Today we remember the pure souls that fought against terror and defeated something that made terror supporters mad. That's why they committed such a cowardly act of killing our leaders in Iraq.
They expect that by assassinating our leaders, they will weaken our resistance, but they have failed to achieve their goals, and even after committing their cowardly act, it did nothing more than adding strength to us.
The attendees also condemned the latest attacks on anti-terror forests in Iraq and Syria, which led to the martyrdom of Sayyid Razi Mousawi. They demanded an immediate end to the U.S. military presence in Iraq, and they argued that this is the only solution to stop the continuous attacks on Iraqi forces and end violations against Iraq's sovereignty. They also expressed their solidarity with the Palestinians and condemned the Israeli war on Gaza. A huge crowd have gathered today to commemorate the fourth anniversary of the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani and Al-Hajj Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. The legacy of the anti-terror icons continue to live on, inspiring people in the region to stand up for the oppressed. Muslim Salim, Baghdad.
The journalists have found themselves stalked by the indiscriminate Israeli strikes, which so far have claimed the lives of over 100 journalists working for different media agencies across the globe. Journalists believe the regime is deliberately attacking them and that they are paying the price of covering the Israeli massacres and atrocities committed day and night in Gaza and putting on display the really brutal face of the Israeli occupation. This undoubtedly has limited the chance of the Israeli propaganda machine to whitewash the murder of Palestinian children and deceive people outside the occupied territories on what is really going on.
The Israeli occupation is still practicing this genocide against the Palestinian people generally and the journalists particularly. Till this moment, the Israeli army has deliberately killed 105 journalists who were doing their job of covering the Israeli crimes. And the reason behind that is to curb the coverage of Israeli crimes. In addition to that, it destroyed 96 media agencies in Gaza.
The sufferings of the Palestinian journalists in Gaza are not limited to the Israeli attacks. They are also grappling with the disastrous humanitarian conditions they are experiencing along with their families. Many of them lost their houses to constant Israeli bombardments and joined the displaced people in Gaza, who are estimated to comprise over 80% of the region's population. All they have now are small tents created of pieces of plastic, wood, and fabric, or at best, classes in the Nurwa schools, which are supposed to be safe, but have been repeatedly targeted by Israel.
We, the Palestinian journalists, consider ourselves standing on the same front beside the resistance members on the battlefield. Our battle is to show the world the reality of Israeli massacres despite the ongoing crimes against journalists and the catastrophic humanitarian conditions in Gaza. As you see, I live here in this press van. It's really hard to fulfill your basic needs even when it comes to going to the bathroom. My family fled to the schools and they faced the same hardships.
Journalists in Gaza have to deal with many problems when trying to prepare a simple report on the situation in the Strip. Many cannot even find a chair or a desk, and hence they cannot perform journalistic tasks smoothly. Making matters worse, most of the time there is no internet in the Strip, and journalists cannot communicate with the world.
As a Palestinian journalist, similar to all my colleagues, we live in a very complicated situation. Even though we are chased by the Israeli strikes and killings, we find ourselves obliged to forget about the difficulties we face in every aspect of life due to this onslaught for the sake of reporting the truth. I assure you that every single one of the 2.3 million Palestinians here has his or her tragedy, and this includes us. Our daily life is horrific and unimaginable at all levels.
Like all the other Gazans, many Palestinian journalists in the besieged district have been killed brutally by the Israeli bombardments. And those who are still alive continue to suffer from the unlivable conditions in the region. Mutayab Msabih, the central area of Gaza Strip.
Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has slammed Israel's assassination of senior Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps advisor Sayyid Radi Mousawi in Syria. Hezbollah called it a flagrant and brazen attack and a transgression of borders. Deputy head of Hezbollah's executive council told Press TV that General Qasem Soleimani had predicted that Sayyid Razi would be assassinated in the battle to liberate al-Quds.
His martyrdom was only a matter of time. He was a man who had spent his youth on sacrifice.
He was always ready to offer whatever assistance was needed to the resistance groups. This assassination will not stop the path which Sayed Ravi al-Musawi has opened for us. It will not stop us and other resistance groups in the region from continuing to walk in this path. We will remain on the battlefield to face this enemy which is occupying and looting our land. And with the blessing of the martyrs, the future will witness a new victory for the resistance in Gaza and the region.
Palestinian resistance factions Hamas and Islamic Jihad also said in a statement that the assassination of Brigadier General Radi Mousawi on Syrian territory is a crime and a cowardly act that threatens security and stability in the region. The Palestinian resistance groups lauded Sayed Radi for his role in supporting the resistance in Palestine.
We know that he was very close to General Qasem Soleimani and therefore worked closely with the Palestinian resistance groups and all resistance groups in the region. His efforts were based on the same school of thought as General Soleimani, and he walked in the same path which they had opened together. Today, we can see the result of these efforts in Gaza and the West Bank.
The Iranian cultural advisor in Beirut said General Mousawi was considered as a man who devoted his life to the Palestinian cause and finally sacrificed it for the sake of Al-Quds.
Sayed Radi Mousawi, God bless his soul, was one of the great leaders in the IRGC who devoted his life to support the honorable resistance in the region, especially in Lebanon and Palestine. Therefore, he is a part of every blessed bullet or rocket that is being fired to target the criminal Zionist regime, whether in Palestine or Lebanon.
Sayed Radi is now seen as a regional leader and martyr, just as General Soleimani. He is regarded by many as a martyr in the long battle for the liberation of Al-Quds. On the martyrdom anniversary of General Qasem Soleimani, the resistance front has bid farewell to another leader. Sayed Radi Mousawi's role in supporting the resistance groups of Lebanon and Palestine was significant. However, for the resistance, martyrdom is another form of divine victory. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps has vowed to take tough revenge on Israel for assassinating a senior Iranian military advisor in Syria. IRGC spokesman Ramazan Sharif made this statement during a press conference held in the Iranian capital, Tehran. He blasted the Monday Israeli missile attack on Damascus that targeted Brigadier General Sayed Razi Mousavi's residence in the Sayed Zainab neighborhood. He also described the assassination as a continuation of Israel's violation of international laws, calling on the international community to stop the crimes of the occupying regime, which endanger international peace and security. When asked about Tel Aviv's motive for committing this heinous crime, Sharif said the regime is seeking to expand its genocidal onslaught on Gaza to the entire West Asia region.
One of the reasons is that the Israeli regime wants to extend the scope of the war beyond the borders of Palestine, and they want to deflect public attention from the Gaza war. The second point, which is important, is that the Israelis try to show off their aerial dominance. Maybe these are the two main reasons because of which the assassination was committed.
The IRGC spokesman warned that Israel must wait for a direct or indirect response as Iran reserves the right to counter the Israeli assassination. He added, the martyrdom of the Iranian commander will usher in a new era where the Zionist regime will be the loser. Sharif also touched upon the U.S. support for Israel, saying Washington is violating international law by funding and backing the regime's crimes in Gaza.
Definitely, one of their strategies has been to change the Israel-Palestine conflict to Iran-America conflict. But as the wise leader of the Islamic Revolution said on the first day of the Al-Aqsa flood operation, this operation was launched by Palestinians against Israelis, and the U.S. support for Israel is the reason why the regime continues to exist.
Brigadier General Sayed Razi Mousavi was martyred by Israel while on an advisory mission in Syria.
Truth never dies, and today it's livelier than ever as the world is observing the Israeli crimes with open eyes, conscious minds, and bleeding hearts. No matter what the Israeli regime and its supporters do to divert the global community's attention from its aggression on Gaza, the whole world are unanimously calling for justice for Palestinians. Mahdi Abbasian, Tehran.
Sayed
Syrian military, religious, parliamentary and popular delegations, along with resistance representatives, visited the Iranian embassy in Damascus to convey their condolences for the martyrdom of Brigadier General Sayed Razi Mousavi, the top commander of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps. The attendees condemned the heinous crime committed by the Israeli regime and expressed unwavering faith in the victory of the resistance.
This is a criminal act and an evidence of bankruptcy. When they failed in confronting the resistance, they resorted to assassinations. It is well known that their agenda is to target resistance leaders in Gaza, but they have failed so far. They have been unable to achieve any meaningful results except for killing innocent civilians.
I express my condolences and congratulations on behalf of the Syrian president for the martyrdom of Sayed Razi. The price of victory and resistance are these martyrs who join thousands of martyrs of the Syrian army and all resistance forces in Lebanon and Iraq. This is the fruit of the struggle and real work to restore our usurped rights.
In a heartfelt tribute, participants spoke highly of Commander Mousavi and his significant role as an official of logistical support for the resistance front, while resistance leaders confirmed that his blood will not be in vain. Rather, it will inspire the peoples of the region to resist more than ever until the Israeli regime is fully defeated, along with its United States supporter.
As for us, the Islamic resistance in Iraq, by the permission of God, we will have a response. Our military operations in support of Gaza are ongoing. The assassination of the martyr commander Razi Mousavi aimed to cut off the supply chains and hinder the great achievements made by the Axis of Resistance in supporting Gaza.
One of the pillars of the Axis of Resistance, who dedicated his life to serving people and defending their rights. He left a great impact on the souls of those who knew him. Participants remembered him as a generous, humble, and kind-hearted man. With profound grief and resolute determination to seek justice, they expressed their unwavering confidence that Iran would retaliate against the Israeli vicious crime. Syrians and Iranians share the same grief today, along with all fighters of the resistance front, as martyr Sayed Reza Mousavi was not only a military advisor who defended Syria, but also an icon of humanity and heroism. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
End of a blood-soaked year, start of another. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Today marks the start of the year 2024 of the Gregorian calendar that was ushered in at midnight in the West and in societies influenced by Western culture, with depraved parties, as revelers committed the oldest sins in the newest ways, as if the goal of life is sadism and pleasures of the flesh, without the least thought for the sufferings of fellow humans, especially mass massacred and the indiscriminate bombing to death of civilians, including children and women. An adage says the object of a new year is to have a new soul, and to prepare for the present requires proper pondering on incidents of the year gone by. Wonder how many of the so-called statesmen in the West, especially of the supposedly big powers, and the U.S. in particular, have the soul and the mind to reflect on their strategic blunders of the past year that have worsened the misery of mankind. Yesterday, people in the West bade farewell to the year 2023 of the Gregorian calendar, accompanied as usual by mirth, lights, fireworks, and of course, the other depravities that have become part of life in cultures devoid of spiritual and religious values. Joe Biden, the mass murderer in Washington who fuels the flames of war in Ukraine and in October, calling himself Zionist, openly supported child killer Benjamin Netanyahu's genocide in Gaza, ended the year with more unpardonable crimes, such as vetoing of UN Security Council resolutions for ceasefire and the bypassing of the American Congress for supply of multi-million dollars of lethal weapons to Israel to continue the bloodbath of the people of Palestine. With such a horrible ending, it is anybody's guess how 2024 will turn out for the world, given the satanic nature of Biden, his Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, a Zionist of Ukrainian origins, and his War Secretary, Lloyd Austin, who, in his blind support for the crimes of the illegal Zionist entity, craves for the shedding of more innocent blood. These perpetrators of crimes against humanity will certainly not be left unpunished in the present year, God willing. Anyway, the year that has started also looks as gloomy and as bloody as the year that went by because of the lack of spiritual values in the West, especially in the U.S., whose state terrorism has spread all over the world, including our region, where the CENTCOM terrorists are based and ought to be kicked out for the sake of peace and stability. An important point to note is that the Gregorian calendar has no connection with Jesus or his message of peace, but is linked with the heathen heritage of ancient Rome, at which we should cast a glance. It is these pagan roots of the supposedly Christian calendar that makes the West, and wherever its decadent culture has been imposed, to indulge in crimes against humanity and to commit the oldest sins in the newest possible ways on the New Year, under cover of the creed of the most misunderstood messenger of God. Misunderstood because, at one extreme, Jesus was elevated to Godhead by the Romans, who were converted to Paul's version of Christianity more than three centuries after the Messiah, and at the other extreme, the Zionists continue to shamelessly slander him and his Virgin Mother Mary, peace upon her. That is the reason the Zionists consider it the racist right to massacre the people of Palestine, while the West regards it a religiously duty to support the genocide of the people of Gaza. Both Muslims and Christians, who neither slander Jesus nor his chaste mother and have the highest respect for them. As we said, the fact of the matter is that the New Year of the West has nothing to do with Christianity, let alone the monotheistic teachings of Prophet Jesus, peace upon him, who, as is evident by his words in the Gospels, was sent to the lost sheep of Israel that betrayed the virgin-born Messiah and continues its crimes against humanity. The West is totally alienated from the true message of the Son of Mary. The goal of the message of the prophets is to ensure peace, prosperity, and justice in the transient life of this world and guarantee salvation in afterlife. That is the reason through them God gave laws to the human societies so that they will not follow the whims and deception of Satan to coin absurd laws of their own, as is the case with the secular societies and the weird system of liberal democracy, which is actually rebellion against God and violation of the teachings of Jesus. It would be tedious here to detail the fixing of January 1st as the new year over 2,000 years ago by the pagan ruler Julius Caesar, who ordered the change of the Roman calendar from the spring of March to the gloom of winter, not on the basis of any prophecy of the birth of Jesus, but in order to celebrate one of his bloody military victories in a part of Central Europe
that had resulted in human misery such as massacre of men, rape, and enslavement of women, orphaning of children, and destruction of homes and hearts. Thus, January 1st is not the new year of the Christians, neither of the Jews, and certainly not of the Muslims. As a matter of fact, it has no significance for any other religion anywhere in the world, such as Zoroastrianism, Hinduism, Taoism, Buddhism, Shamanism, and even animism. In other words, none of the religious texts of the said creeds or the principal figures, including Prophet Jesus, have said anything about the 1st of January, which decades before his birth was made the first day of the Roman calendar in 45 BC by Julius Caesar in honor of Janus, the pagan deity of beginnings and transitions, hence the naming of month as January. More than a millennium and a half later, in 1582, several centuries after the Christianizing of the Roman Empire, not on the basis of the monotheistic message of the Messiah, but as per the weird concept of Trinity coined by the Hellenized Jew Paul, Pope Gregory, following some revisions of Caesar's pagan Julian calendar, launched a new calendar in his own name on February 24th, calling it Gregorian. He, however, reverted to the pagan practice of January 1st as the start of the new year. It took several more centuries for January 1st to be accepted as the start of the new year. For instance, the Netherlands adopted the Gregorian calendar in 1698, Britain and its colonies, including what is now the United States, in 1752, Russia in 1980. After the atheist Bolshevik Revolution and Greece as late as in 1923, it was only in the 20th century between the two world wars that the Gregorian calendar, along with January 1st as New Year Day, was forced upon the rest of the world, including the Muslim world, so that the globe would be held in ransom to the policies of the neo-Roman imperialists in London and Washington who, while paying lip service to Christianity, hate from the depth of their hearts the virgin-born Messiah and his monotheistic message of peace, virtue, and social justice. It is worth noting that none of the Orthodox churches, such as those based in Greece, Cyprus, Constantinople, or Istanbul, Alexandria in Egypt, Antioch in Syria, Russia, Armenia, Georgia, and etc., have accepted the Vatican's imposition of the Gregorian calendar. This means, religiously, January 1st is not the New Year day for these Christian churches. In view of these undeniable facts, the new Gregorian calendar year 2024, whatever its origin, and in whatever way the West and its client regimes in the Arab world celebrate it, is not expected to bring any relief to humanity. No wonder January 1st has come to be known as the Day of Depraved because of its pagan Roman origins and the indulgence of the misled on this occasion in the most cardinal sins on which the Bible frowns upon. Presently, it is the day of the Zionist mass murderers to continue the genocide of the Palestinians with the deadly weapons and active support of the United States.
Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. I am a Muslim. Islamati. Islamati. Allah my Lord. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salamun alaikum, dear listeners. Hope you're doing well. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. And this is Youth Station. I'm your host, Hassanain, and we have our co-host with us.
Yeah, I'm here. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, and my brother.
Alaykum
assalam. I am Bita, and once again, we are here at Youth Station, our sweet home.
Sister, sometimes I wonder that looking at the youth, looking at different people, like, yeah. Some are good, some are polite, some are humble. Some are disrespectful, and some are religious, and some are like away from deen, away from religion. And sometimes I wonder that maybe it's the upbringing of their family, like that from different families, you know?
Yeah, when you go throughout the society, there is a variety of people, a variety of personalities, and there are so many factors involved to make your personality and who you are and your identity. But I believe the most important one is exactly the upbringing and the parenting that mm-hmm. and the environment that they were grown up in. And I believe that there are things that are in your nature, but how to control these things and how to react over the problems of your life is what your parent will teach you mm-hmm. and you will learn from them. And because of that, parenting and specifically being a mother is a really important role.
It's a key role, yeah. Yeah.
It's a key role, specifically from the religious and Islamic point of view. Mm-hmm. And but it is really difficult to raise a child, specifically in this world. I mean, the modern world.
Mm-hmm. You know, many people are concerned about this thing, especially many parents are concerned about these things. Like, how can we raise a young person
yeah.
with faith, with iman? Many people come with the complaints that, you know, our child, we tell him so much regarding prayers, so much about faith, but he doesn't listen. He's not interested in listening. You know, I feel that the problem lies in the right time,
yeah.
you know, when you should start parenting. You know, okay, the child is now, you know, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years. Someone has already laid the foundation.
You know, the problem of most parents is that they want to raise their children in the most sensitive age, which is like the age of 13 to 20,
yeah.
Which is not the age of actually growing someone or
that's
teaching
That's actually the most
something.
Crucial stage of a human life. You
yeah,
know, that's when a human, like, you know, he hits his puberty.
Yeah.
So, and the rest of the time, like, you know, since childhood to this age when he reaches, you know, someone else has worked on him. Because why? Because you haven't worked on him.
You know, I think the seed of parenting should be planted at the first time that your child is born. Mm-hmm. Okay, from that time, you have to practice whatever you want them to actually learn. I mean, if you want your children to be respectful, then you have to be respectful yourself. Mm-hmm. We can say, for example, throughout the family, families that are educated, they read books a lot and so many other things, their children are interested in books too.
There are many different ways of doing this. The first way shouldn't be, you know, forcing your children.
Yeah.
You should never force your children. When your children are young, you should tell them stories. You should tell them in the form of stories.
Yeah.
If you want your children to have good faith, you cannot force them. Like, you know, faith is something that is... You have it in your insight, right? The particular should reach to that point, you know, okay, so I feel this way. It cannot be forced.
Yeah.
You should make them feel the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly.
You should teach them about the teachings of Allah. Like, you know, you should tell them how merciful our Lord is.
Yeah.
You know, this will lead them, you know, in falling in love with the Creator. Yeah, it cannot be forced. So you should tell them, you know, once they fall in love with the Creator, once they fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this will automatically lead them to, you know, following the yeah. teachings of Allah.
I do believe in the method that you are talking about. For example, instead of just forcing them to do something that they don't have even at least clue about, for example, praying, mm-hmm. you can take your children to, for example, nature, to parks, to, I don't know, to show them the beauties in nature mm-hmm. and talk to them about these beauties, the creator of these beauties.
Yeah.
And I think it has its own effects in the children.
Right.
And And another thing you mentioned I really believe in is just narrating the stories.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a child, my mother always sat next to me and narrated the stories of infallibles and moms and prophets me.
Like these and childhood stories, like actually, like, you know, stay in our minds.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. I do remember those stories even at this time. And it has its own impacts on my decisions and the way I behave towards other people and so many other factors.
Before going any further, let's take a short break and start again.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back, dear listeners, and we are discussing about parenting and different ways of it. So, like one of them, we said that, you know, we can help them with narrating stories and make them fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make them, you know, first of all, we should make them know who their creator is.
Exactly.
You know, unless and until they don't know who Allah is, they cannot pray the Lord, right?
And
you need to know him first.
Yeah, and one thing which is really important in this parenting story is to know the real value of being a parent. You know, it is so beautiful, and at the same time, it is a really huge responsibility that you have the authority and you have the independency of growing a child, a human being. A real human being is in your hands to actually grow it. And I think at the same time, which is really beautiful, I mean, this phenomenon is really beautiful, it has a really huge responsibility with itself, that you have to understand it and touch it and then go for knowledge of parenting, that we have so many narrations, we have so many verses in Holy Quran about how about parenting, and I think there is a lot of things we can actually learn from those narrations.
And apart from this, what I feel like, you know, the other most important factor to be is, you know, children learn what they see.
Yeah.
So, like, parents are like role models for them. Like, you know, parents are the first teachers for the children. You know, the child sees whatever you do. You know, it's a time of prayer. The muazzin is calling the adhan.
Yeah.
And you're not praying. So the child will like, okay, then you tell your child to pray. Like, you shouldn't even expect him to pray.
Yeah.
You know, children, they look at you and they learn. You know, you can sort of say that, you know, the same thing which applies to, you know, friends. Like, tell me who your friends are and tell you who you are. Like, you know, by looking at someone, we can, you know, make a guess. We can, you know, have an idea, like, what type of family background he has. What type of family is coming from?
Yeah, I think the first role model that these children, I mean, every child has is their parents, you know. So if you want your children, for example, to be faithful, to be respectful, to be whatever, you have to actually practice it, and they have to see it from you. And this is a really important fact that most of the children may forget. Like, they expect the children to study, but they don't even read a book in front of their children. So this is a really key role. It has a really key role in parenting and growing a child. This is really interesting at the same time that from the youth age, you have to get yourself prepared about parenting and so on. I mean,
You know, when I'm in the society, I see different types of people, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, like, you know, in this society, in today's world, you know, my parents have, you know, like, upbrought me so well.
Exactly.
So, you know, sometimes I feel this makes me wonder, oh my God, like, this is going to be hard for me. Because, you know, the times are getting worse. So what should I do when I become a parent?
Exactly. The same question for me.
What should I do when I have a child?
deep society full of fake people, full of these fake informations on social media, full of, deceiving each other.
Yeah.
And it is really scary to raise that child in a way that she or he is not going to get harmed and at the same time not be harmful to the society. I think it's a really difficult task that not anyone...
In fact, this is like a very concerning and many parents are worried regarding this. You know, I have many people who I know that they contact me and like, you know, living in the West.
Yeah.
Living in the West, that, you know, we are worried about our children's iman. We are worried about their faith. We don't know what their future is going to be. So now if you talk to them regarding parenting and upbringing, you know, they say, okay, like, you know, the child is with us. Like, we do whatever we can.
Yeah.
So, but the, like, 6 or 7 hours of the day when he's in school, we don't know what's happening over there. So let's discuss this after a short break.
If you have any suggestion, our email is englishradio@irib.ir.
So welcome back to your listeners. And before the break, we're discussing about the problems faced by the parents and living in the West regarding the upbringing of their children. So they say that, you know, we try to teach them good morals, good values when they're with us, when the children are with us. But when they go to the school, of course, you know, the surrounding and the environment is not Islamic, right? You know, that, like, you know, many propagandas, many beliefs that are deviated from the path of Islam, that are against Islam.
You know, brother, I always told myself that I'm really lucky that I was born in a religious family, specifically a Muslim country even.
Yeah, it's actually
and
a blessing.
That is a blessing. And it is really a difficult task for Muslim people, Muslim parents in Western countries or non-Muslim countries to raise a child according to the Islamic principles. But it's not completely impossible because we have Muslim schools, Muslim communities, even in Western countries and so on. The first 7 years of the age of the children, that is so important for making the base of the personality of that children. What do you suggest to parents to practice in their parenting towards their children?
Yeah, for example, the main thing I've mentioned that, you know, parents are the teachers for children. They're the role model. Like, children learn whatever they see.
Yeah.
So first place, you yourself need to be a better person. If you want your children to be good, if you want your children to be faithful and religious, you yourself need to be a better person. So they look at you and learn from you. So this is the first thing. And the second thing, the foundation needs to be laid very well. You know, even when they go out, the society and the culture, which is not very Islamic, doesn't have an impact on your children.
Yeah.
And the last thing, and one of the most important things, what I feel is, you know, especially people living in the West, what I have seen is, you know, living in the West where, you know, you don't usually find Islam when you go out in the streets,
practically,
right?
Practically,
yeah. Yeah, you don't find Islam practically. So many families that have been successful in upbringing their children.
So why not you?
Are the ones that participate regularly in azar, in the majalis.
Yeah.
So take your children to azar and keep your children associated with deen. And the azah of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam.
Exactly.
So this will help them in learning of a lot of things.
So,
and there are many more. So, but I am afraid that
yeah,
we just had...
We're running out of time.
Yeah, we're running out of time. So that's it for today. With that being said, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you dear youth will see that day and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings, be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about this.
We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.